We are honoring all of those who have fallen in the service of our nation, law enforcement, first responders, and military, those who have given the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. And I invite you to stay with me for this special edition of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Great guests and great discussions up ahead. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Caps, toys to throw your money at, car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms, detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs, mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Friend, thank you for joining me on this special occasion. Once again, it is our privilege to bring you the various topics and interesting guests from around our community. This show we call Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, intended to keep us focused on the things that matter most, I think, and those things that are being offered to our good, those activities and innovations that in and of themselves promise to bring us a better community, a better way of life. I mean, that's kind of how we go around here. We're looking for those celebrations, those educational ideas, science, arts, entertainment, community service, all the things that immediately you think of when you talk about a community that is thriving, expanding, and doing the very best it can to serve the citizens that are those, in fact, who make it all work. That's you and me. So if we are something unique and something distinct, it ought to become apparent to us as we grow together and as we break through some of the old barriers, some of those intentional, but most of them unintended barriers, just matters of consequence. You know, what side of town you happen to live on, where you work, where you play, where you go to worship, or, you know, how you spend your money, what stores you visit. In this town especially, it's pronounced when people are not in touch with one another because, in general, the population is just smaller. Okay, so if you live in Atlanta or Nashville or Austin, these are larger populations, certainly Jacksonville, Orlando, New York, Pittsburgh. I mean, it's easy to say that in those communities, people tend to stay within their own neighborhoods. Well, yeah, because even within their neighborhood, you have 500,000 people, let's say. Well, in our community, those neighborhoods comprise the 500,000 people that are living here and about. Okay, so if you look at the metro area, I mean, that means Leon County and Thomas County, Jefferson, Gadsden, Wakulla. Yeah, you start adding up the population that is defined by the Census Bureau as the Tallahassee-Thomasville SMA. That demographically is the real Tallahassee. Okay, so the term itself is being thrown around a bit. I mean, what is Tallahassee, right? And there was this recent attempt, once again, a contingent of folks that made their journey over to Nashville. Such things have happened before, the trip to Boulder, Colorado, and Austin. The quest to better discover how these communities go about creating a thriving environment an environment that is fostering economic growth, cultural growth, cultural in the broadest sense, meaning arts and entertainment and music and literature and such, even when it comes down to leisure time. You know, what do we do for recreation and leisure in this town? And so there have been some decided efforts in that direction, particularly regarding, we'll call it, the various districts, whether it's Gain Street or Midtown, Market District, that have, for their part, been a welcome addition to what has otherwise been a sort of beige sort of nightlife in this town for so many years. So you're seeing the indications of efforts that are well-intended, I think, judge them to be well-intended. But at the same time, you have to ask how much of that is inclusive of all that we are beyond a few zip codes. So yes, we are certainly seeing more of this sort of thing pop up, and we're seeing more ideas come to the forefront that are changing the way in which we think of ourselves. But I also ask the question, to what degree do we reach out beyond our particular borders, if it's city or county defined, or like I say, maybe a few zip codes, and look at what we really belong to, which is largely an agrarian economy, or is certainly, as a population, dependent upon the economic center that Tallahassee is by way of working for government in some capacity, either state, county, city, education, FSU, FAMU, TCC. You're working for these very large organizations, government as such, and how much of that encourages you to be particularly creative or innovative. Not saying there isn't any. I'm just asking, are those organizations service-directed, service-oriented? Are they producing an outcome? Yes. But are they charged with the business of inventing something else, even to the extent that they replace the manner in which they've been conducting business? Okay? You follow what I'm saying? So if we're looking at how this community better understands itself beyond its agrarian roots, beyond its dependent on government for employment, government in some capacity, if we're looking beyond even the things that we take for granted that we do day in and day out, right? The neighborhood we hang with, the places where we shop and all of that sort of thing. You know, if what you do is confined to a certain circle of friends and a certain segment of or a certain location within this town, perhaps you're void of more innovation. You're not being exposed to new ideas. And the place where you work, most likely, is not a place known for creativity and innovation. Okay, so when we go about the countryside looking at other communities, and you find there's a great deal of innovation and vitality, it seems to me that there's this sort of willingness then to embrace new ideas, to put aside the notion that the way we have done things here, it must remain the same. The same usual suspects are the ones who make those trips across the country to investigate and bring back ideas in a sort of top-down fashion. So here we go with, this is how Tallahassee should be branded. This is how Tallahassee should be defined. And my question is, do we have within our ranks that answer? It's all right down here at ground level. It doesn't have to be found outside of, it has to be found within the people that we are. You know, it's not the family I chose, but it is the family that is mine. Well, that's not what we're doing here. We're going to go further. We're not just going to go through the motion. Well, maybe I will. But everybody else here is working pretty hard, so you stay with me. We'll be right back.
I love my Volvo. That's why I love Volcar. They take care of my Volvo the way I do. But my husband doesn't drive a Volvo. Good news, Volcar cares for all cars, and they give the same extra attention to detail and the same qualified precision every car requires. New or not so new, Carol and her team at Volcar are some of my most favorite people. She makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on with my car. And I trust her. And I think my husband does too, especially when he saw they charge less than his mechanic for the same service. So we're just one big happy family. Me, my Volvo, and my husband. With a little help from our friends at Volcar.
Volcar Sales and Service on Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Miccosukee in Tallahassee. Volcar for all cars. On the web at VolcarTally.com or call 942-4980. 942-4980.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are enjoying the fact that on this Memorial Day weekend, we reflect upon the manner in which freedom is best preserved. Memorial Day is that occurrence annually when we pause in remembrance of those who have given on behalf of our nation, our communities, those in various ways, whether in law enforcement, first responders, military, have died, have given their lives in the defense of the nation, in the defense of freedom, in the preservation of our way of life. These are those concerns that occupy our thoughts, and there are observances going on all around the country this weekend and, of course, on Monday. Some of us perhaps are thinking of it as the first holiday since the last legal holiday. We get a day off from work. Maybe that's the extent to which we engage ourselves. But I think for us and for those who we're talking with today, it's more than that, of course, and it's more than simply an observance that comes because it happens to be a day on the calendar. It's an observance, I think, that leads us to question, what is it to be committed to our way of life? What is it to be willing to defend freedom at any cost? What is it to invest in who we are as a people? So it seemed appropriate to me that we invite someone who is firsthand in that effort, and there are many of you who are firsthand in that effort in various ways. Particularly in this case, we're looking at how it was that a group of folks, in this case two credit unions locally, and a local church, found opportunity to collaborate, to come together. And in coming together, to create an entity that didn't exist prior and that had as its foundational purpose the benefit of those in its immediate vicinity, particularly the Frenchtown community, thinking of it in terms of providing additional resource for those residents in Frenchtown. And so it was that, as they have named this organization, the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center was born. And so here with this morning, we've got an astute individual, Chuck Adcock, who is going to give us an update about this whole effort
And it's our pleasure to welcome him to the show. Chuck, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
It's a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Sorry that Michael Phillips was first in this conversation. He kind of slipped past
you
there.
Sure, he did. He filled in for me because I didn't want to be here spreading my germs one day and infecting you and your staff.
So you were actually being compassionate and respectful.
I was.
I see. Well, okay. Well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Well, Michael did a great job.
Right.
It's been a few months since he was here, and in fact, it was not long after the initiation of this financial opportunity center that he came and talked with us about it. And what a remarkable occurrence when you see two otherwise competing organizations, two credit unions, the FSU Credit Union that you represent.
Correct.
And then the other is
Envision Credit Union.
Longtime organization here in Tallahassee. It's gone through several iterations, as I recall.
Absolutely.
Named different things at different times, but it's still the same organ. It used to be North Florida Education.
Right. And before that, I think it was Leon County Teachers Credit Union.
Look at that. So, longstanding organization, FSU Credit Union, right in there in the same capacity. You guys have been around a long time.
Yeah.
And you've been with the FSU Credit Union 23 years.
Yes.
So I think you told me that you started when you were 12.
Right, I was 12.
Just
ahead of child labor laws.
Sweeping floors. And
right.
What did you say? You were a teller part-time?
I was a part-time teller while attending FSU in our drive-through. And that was back when a drive-through facility was separate on campus. And all of us part-time guys kind of got to hang out over there.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here because I'm fascinated with that question as to what got you involved as a student in the business of a credit union and financial matters. More importantly, at the moment, here we are on Memorial Day weekend, and as I've said in my stumbling manner, this business of bringing opportunity, investing in a way of life, while we are remembering those who have given the ultimate in being willing to die in the defense of our country or in the service of others, perhaps as first responders or in law enforcement, here we have a living example to me of an investment that is ongoing. And I don't want to try to make this too dramatic, but it seems to me it's not too much of a stretch to say that when we invest in a population of people and we are willing to do whatever it takes, it certainly is within that same spirit that somehow you folks went in with this notion, not knowing whether this is going to work or not particularly.
Sure.
And maybe even now, there's still a lot of question as to whether this is going to work. So tell us, how's it going?
It's going quite well from our from our vantage point. We're probably a year into it almost now.
Yeah.
The other day I saw statistics that reflected we had a little over 200 new accounts that we had opened.
Huh.
And that's a combination of folks that are affiliated with the church that were opening accounts with us to support the measure, and then folks from within the community that were looking for alternative banking.
And so, those accounts are anything from a checking account to a business loan or what?
Yeah, so a credit union, you have to have a share account or a savings account to be a member, to have your membership.
Right.
So they're all going to have at least a savings account at this point, and there'll be a regular savings account for them to put away money for emergencies. Mm-hmm. But then many of those folks go ahead and operate or open a checking account because obviously that's how you operate in more mainstream banking.
Mm-hmm.
So 200 new members is the way of looking at it, and I think probably a little more than half of those open checking accounts with us as well.
Interesting.
And then that's just the account side. On the loan side, we funded a little over $2 million in loans into that community, which is a combination of both business loans and largely consumer loans.
Folks, we're talking with Chuck Adcock. He is the Executive Vice President for FSU Credit Union right here in Tallahassee. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
May 5th, 1868, General John Logan calls for a National Day of Remembrance in honor of those slain on the field of battle during the Civil War. May 30th was chosen as the day when Americans across the nation would gather to offer prayers and decorate the graves of these fallen defenders of freedom. In 1968, Congress declared the last Monday in May to be our official Memorial Day, giving thanks for our first responders, law enforcement, and all those in military service who have given the ultimate sacrifice for a grateful nation. From Dr. Eve James at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy, for comprehensive family dentistry, call 875-3908. Sellers Tile on Capitol Circle Northeast for the best design ideas and the highest quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Call 656-8453. And Tallahassee Family Magazine, available at local newsstands and bookstores and online at TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Chuck Adcock, and those dollars are being used within the community, or are they various intents?
Most of them are being used within Tallahassee community at large, if you will.
Yeah.
What we found on the consumer side is you have a lot of folks that, for many reasons, Michael may have alluded to some of these in the previous show, they've gone to alternative modes of banking.
I see.
And with those alternative avenues comes generally a higher price point. Oh. And some of that is because of misinformation. They didn't know that they had alternatives in the credit union side. Some of there's a cultural piece, and some of it's just fear, you know, to walk into a financial institution and try to transact business. So what we found on the consumer side was the money that we're deploying is generally in an environment of refinancing existing debt at a much lower price point. So we're trying to help folks put that interest money back into their own pocket.
And there you go with this notion of collective and individual freedom.
Correct.
To me, when I can say to an individual or an organization, we can bring to you a solution that is liberating. You're not burdened with a higher interest rate on this money that you're using to further your endeavor, whatever that may be. Restaurant, you know, a business of some kind, or your personal, maybe it's a
car loan. And the same holds true on the commercial side. We've had small businesses come in and have existing business elsewhere at, again, a higher interest rate. And credit unions being what we are as an industry, we come in at that lower point because we're about the collective. And, you know, our motto around our place is let us help you pay us less. And so what we're really trying to do is say you're going to have to borrow money from time to time in your life unless you're completely independently wealthy.
Right.
And when you do, let's do it at the lowest possible price point. And along the way, I think the most rewarding part of the Frenchtown Financial Opportunity Center, and there's a tie back to both Envision and FSU's core membership being educational based, us being a university credit union, Envision originally being a teacher's credit union, we've always had this financial literacy component buried into every product or service we've had. For us is to be able to sit down with a member and say, not only there's a transaction behind it where we can price the transaction better, and that's just normal competition, but more importantly, and I think more rewarding for us, is to be able to sit down with someone and say, let me explain FICO. Let me explain why you pay what you pay.
Yeah.
And let me help position you to be in the best place that you can get yourself and provide that
and
kind of
again,
control for them.
That's a liberating experience because now we're empowering people to make informed, educated, or more educated decisions than they would have otherwise.
Right.
And as a Memorial Day weekend of activities and observances go on about us, we thought it'd be appropriate to have Chuck talk about the freedom that comes when you bring to a community, in this case Frenchtown, and we could talk beyond Frenchtown because this is a credit union that's been around a long time and has invested. I was reading you guys have done something like 10,000 automobile loans. Let's see if I can get some of this articulated correctly. Apparently, credit unions have this ability to form a CUSO.
Correct. Right?
And the CUSO is a for-profit entity that has a particular purpose. In this case, one called iDrive Lending, right? So this is owned by FSU Credit Union.
Again, this is owned actually by FSU and Envision.
It's
one of multiple partnerships have with Envision.
Once again, a kind of coalition then of these partners.
Right.
You guys don't give up, do you?
No, we don't.
And see, that really speaks volumes to me about our concern for identity. Recently, we've seen this contingent of folks go over to Nashville and try to learn from their experiences how we can be better or who we are. Mm-hmm. And the conversation that has ensued has to do with our brand, who we are as a community and what Tallahassee's brand might be. What do you say to that?
You know, it's interesting you bring this up. A week or so ago, I was able to participate in the SBDC's Small Business Awards Luncheon. And they brought in the Vice President of Marketing for the Latin American Division of Apple. And he talked about brand. And he said, you know, it's more than a logo, more than a concept, your color scheme, whatever. It's your reputation. And so really, when I think about brand in that regard, and I think about the brand both of the credit union and our CUSOs, I really think about camp out on that word reputation. And that I find a very interesting concept that I'd never really considered until just recently. So as I think about the reputation of not just the community, but what we're trying to do within the community, I think it's important for us to really kind of camp out on what do we want people to say about us, if that's how we define reputation.
Reputation for me says behavior over time.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
So there's a kind of history then that we can chronicle. And in looking at that history, we see certain characteristic behaviors that seem to come up over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. With FSU Credit Union, what's noteworthy, I think, is this determination to give back to the community. So a portion of the proceeds from loans go directly back to local charities.
Correct. We call that our Borrow for Less, Give Back More campaign.
Okay. So if all of us were doing that individually, I mean, a lot of us do. It's a sort of biblical principle. You know, you tithe a portion of your income. What would happen if all of the organizations that you and I could think of, private business and such, all of us are looking for ways in which we can reinvest? I think a number of us do.
Sure.
But I wonder if that legacy, if that history, if that reputation might be part of Tallahassee's brand?
I would think so. And I think consistent, you mentioned earlier about how I got into this. I grew up in a bank vault, literally. My father was a banker for Sun Bank back when Sun Bank existed. And he's retired now. But one of the things that is attractive, not just to me, the finance side to me is very fascinating. But on the credit union side is understanding this, the philosophy of our industry is people helping people. And I think that gets to the root of what you're talking about is if we're getting back into any community and helping those around us. And we see that amongst our credit union brethren, which is what makes this collaboration come naturally amongst our credit union folks. Yeah. There's competition naturally. Yeah. But when we kind of put that aside and we say, what can we do collectively and bring pool resources that make the most sense, it becomes very powerful. And so as it pertains just to our credit union in this initiative to give back more, if we saw this across, we know the impacts we're making. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about how that campaign came about, kind of it was very genuine. It started off with just an idea. We had one staff member say, could we donate to an organization that's meaningful to me? Because there was a personal connection. Mm-hmm. And we said, what if we said to each branch, you pick your own charity. Amongst the branch staff, management doesn't need to be involved at all. We'll go to these charities and we'll say, could we do a little promotion for you and give back to you? And what came out of just, at the time, 6 months worth of energies, now is I think we're in the second or third year, giving back, you know, on a monthly basis. And so if you had every business and or every entity in this town consider that type of give back, it would be pretty powerful what happened.
Take note of something there too, Chuck, that you've just pointed to. Folks, if you're taking notes, you want to make sure you write this down. What they did is they empowered the people that are on the ground level, the people that are in the day-to-day, the tellers and the locals within each one of these branches. And they said, you folks, you're in touch with the people in your neighborhood here. You be the means by which we can communicate better. And you bring to us and take out to those organizations ideas that would have to do with their benefit. See, that to me is not a top-down approach.
Right.
Right? That's coming from the bottom up, and in that way it's genuine. Three or four of you didn't get together over lunch and decide where the money's going.
Right.
You said, no, let's open this thing up. When I look at Tallahassee and its efforts of late to find itself and thereby establish a brand, I really have to think that your model is the right way to go.
Sure.
Talk to the people in Frenchtown about how they want this financial center to work. Folks, we're talking with Chuck Adcock. He is the executive vice president for FSU Credit Union right here in Tallahassee, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
May 5th, 1868, General John Logan calls for a national day of remembrance in honor of those slain on the field of battle during the Civil War. May 30th was chosen as the day when Americans across the nation would gather to offer prayers and decorate the graves of these fallen defenders of freedom. In 1968, Congress declared the last Monday in May to be our official Memorial Day. Giving thanks for our first responders, law enforcement, and all those in military service who have given the ultimate sacrifice for a grateful nation. From Dr. Eve James at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy. For comprehensive family dentistry, call 875-3908. Sellers Tile on Capitol Circle Northeast. For the best design ideas and the highest quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring, call 656-8453. And Tallahassee Family Magazine, available at local newsstands and bookstores and online at TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Chuck Adcock. He has graciously agreed to be a part of this particular show observing Memorial Day. You had to make the effort to get it set up.
Right.
But beyond that, how much of the feedback are you getting that is informative?
From the onset even to today, we routinely meet with folks within the community and ask that very question. What can we do? How do we reach deeper into this community? The Frenchtown Neighborhood Association has been particularly helpful in connecting us with, I call them force multipliers, but those centers of influence within the community that we can use to leverage and multiply the efforts to really reach folks.
Yeah.
We've also worked with the Hub at the Frenchtown Marketplace and most recently have used their facility to conduct a financial seminar. So now we're able to support another local effort, which is the farmers market effort, and then the kitchen share concept, as well as empower and educate the people that are there to learn how to launch their own business on the financial side. Because there's going to be a transactional component to so many pieces of what we do.
Right.
And so we routinely meet with those groups. The churches in that community have a pastoral coalition. We meet with the pastoral coalition frequently. And then, of course, our kind of, it's not contractual partner, but our partner in this is Bethel. And so we are.
Because they really had the idea, didn't they?
They had the envision. They had the idea of, you know, the vision from the beginning and wanted to do it on their own prior to the mortgage crisis.
I see.
And then I think they realized through that process, maybe we need some help. Some folks that do this on a day-to-day level. And just through a chance meeting between myself and one of the leadership at the church, they said, would you guys be interested? And that's kind of how this idea started moving.
And your first reaction when you heard the idea?
My first reaction was, I have a branch. My first reaction was one that was corporate. My first reaction was, I have a branch within a few miles of that location. And so when you look at the way branches are generally laid out for a financial institution, I said, there's too much overlap. I've got a branch right down the street. But then as I started to really, think about it, going back to my 23 years and all the different ways we've helped people, and going back to just my time being a loan officer on the desk when I was in production, there was nothing more rewarding than getting someone to actually hug your neck and cry when you told them you were charging them 12%, which seems extremely high. But when they were paying 35, right. You know, we were saving them thousands upon thousands of dollars.
It's all relative, isn't
it? Right. So for me, I sat there and I said, wait a minute, I need to learn more about not just Frenchtown. And I was also challenged and quite frankly burdened a little bit in that I thought, I don't know anything about Frenchtown and I've lived here the better part of my life. And I said, I need to just get in my truck, which is what I did in response to that meeting. I said, let me just drive through Frenchtown and see what's down. I really did not have a good scope on the number of businesses, the number of churches, the number of residents that were in Frenchtown. So right then I said, so my first response was corporate, this doesn't make sense. My second kind of, usually I do this, I let it season a little bit. I thought, we need to figure out how to make this work, and I've got to get past the financial implications.
And that part of the conversation that you were having with yourself came about in conjunction with you actually getting on site.
Right.
You actually immersing yourself to that extent that you were able to drive around.
Right.
And beyond that, I'm sure there were other personal meetings and such.
Sure.
But you made the effort to say, really, what is this community about? Who are these people?
Yeah, and it's been fascinating. That's been a journey that's been as rewarding as the initiative, in that I've been exposed initially through the church, but then through my own research, to just the historical context of Frenchtown.
It's remarkable.
It's a fantastic story. It's a story that I think gets maybe sometimes lost because we're a growing and an emerging town.
Well, that and we are, I think, divided.
I mean, and
it is not necessarily by intent, although I think in some cases it is intentional. Most often it's by accident. Mm-hmm. But Gerald Tooks has been on the show now two or three times and talks about the Tooks Motel or Tooks Hotel. And the legacy that his family represents when it comes to black-owned businesses, the investment that of his family in the African-American community and in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. That's just part of that Frenchtown story.
Right.
When you think about where we're going, and I'm going to have to let you go because I know that the time has gone past us here. When you ask among your own folks, or when you are being confronted with the same question, who is Tallahassee? Mm. What is our brand? What makes this town so very special and worth investing in? What do you say?
It's a very interesting question. And just a little bit of historical context here. I moved here more than almost 25 years ago. And it was about 4 hours away from where any other family was in any direction. Today, while we're doing this interview, my father's closing on his home to move from Jacksonville to Tallahassee. Ah. My mother moved here after her husband died 4 years ago. My brother moved here 10 years ago. So we've completely transplanted to Tallahassee, which is something I would have never seen 25 years ago happening. So to that point, one of the things that I have seen is, I look at it through the lens really of being a father at this point and say, this is just such a great town to raise a child in. So just, we could probably spend hours talking about the different components of reputation, but what keeps me here is understanding that, and my father, I think, said it best a while back when he was considering moving here. He said, you know, I've been in Jacksonville for the same time you've been in Tallahassee, 25 years. And he said, I go out to dinner all the time. I go into restaurants. I go to retail establishments. I never see anyone that I know. He said, I come here and you and I can't go to Lowe's to buy a screwdriver without you having to shake hands with a dozen people in and out of the store. And he said, what a neat community that is. And so I think that really speaks volumes when someone from the outside observes the connection and there's still that real small town flair, even though we have so much more than a small town. And that says a lot about who our reputation is. And I think there's so many folks in this town that still try to keep that family feel. And to me, that's a really neat thing and keeps me rooted here.
Connected, man.
Yeah, very connected. Yeah.
Folks, Chuck, thank you.
You bet.
And for those of you who have just, like me, are kind of sitting, listening, thinking, this guy's really got it together. He would not like me to say that, would you?
No,
but I think he does. Chuck Adcock, thank you for being with us this
Absolutely.
Morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
If you tuned in late, this guy, I mean, he pretty much runs the credit union. I mean, everybody else just kind of waits. No, I'm teasing. Chuck is their executive vice president. He's been with him for 23 years. God bless you, man. I appreciate all that you're doing to try to help us sinners find our way.
Right.
All right. Chuck Adcock, folks, you stay with me. We've got more Tallahassee Talks
with Brian Cerny.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
Truckin' Hawk Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truckin' Hawk Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truckin' Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truckin' Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. We're back for the second hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Glad you've decided to stay with me, or if you've just joined us, I owe it to you to remind you that you can find us online, TallahasseeTalks.com. The website is bristling with all kinds of good information, activity calendar, courtesy of our friends at FSU Credit Union. Meanwhile, a couple of announcements on this wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Happy Memorial Day to you, my friend. The county has done us a little help here. And this comes by way of Visit Tallahassee and sending me over a list of those places around our community where you can offer a special remembrance. Again, it is Memorial Day, and as Carl points out very well, it's not particularly a celebration. It is a memorial observance. It is the manner in which, or a way in which we can identify and remember those who have given their lives for us, whether locally through a branch of law enforcement or a first responder. We've had a number of those individuals that we've lost quite tragically over the last number of years. And those of you who are military families, if you have a loved one that has passed in military service, or somebody like General Snowden, we're gonna say that this conversation that Michelle brought us, talking about the life and the magnitude of the life of this man who served his country honorably and served those in military service, General Snowden, in a remarkable fashion. So many times it's easy for us to say, oh, isn't this a great country? And, you know, we're thankful for the freedoms we enjoy. And we all feel that patriotic swell whenever the national anthem is played for us, or the flag is displayed for us, and rightly so. But on this occasion, on this particular weekend, perhaps we'll take a moment and visit one of these memorials that, again, this list that I have in front of me, the county has been kind enough to provide us. So here's one, for example, a Civil War memorial, which is located at 400 South Monroe Street. It's basically in the historic Capitol front lawn, and you'll see it there prominently displayed. It honors county residents who died during the Civil War, which reminds me to say that the observance of Memorial Day came about following the Civil War. And as you'll hear in one of the messages that we have playing during our show, this particular general from the Civil War era called for this observance. And now many communities around the nation had been doing so for some time. But this individual took it upon himself to petition Congress and say, look, we need to establish a day in the month of May when we can identify clearly and remember those who have fallen, particularly in relation to the Civil War. That was the notion. And that being the greatest conflict that the nation had experienced to date. Remember now, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands died during the Civil War. Anyway, it was agreed upon the last, or Monday, May 30th, I should say. May 30th was agreed upon to be the day of observance. And it was in 1968 that Congress then passed the law establishing the last Monday in May as a federal holiday and our national observance of Memorial Day. So there's a bit of history for you. Anyway, going on with some of these places around our community, there is a memorial to wounded veterans, combat wounded veterans, and that's also there at the Capitol complex adjacent to the Senate building. So that would be available to you. But so that'd be then west of the historic Capitol building, or what you and I would call the old Capitol building. Let's see. There's a Florida Korean War Memorial at Cascades Park. And, of course, the Florida Vietnam Veterans Memorial there at the corner of Appalachie Parkway in North Monroe. These are all locations about our community where you could leave a thought, maybe an American flag, maybe a ribbon, maybe a card, maybe some flowers, whatever seems appropriate to you and seems to be fitting for the occasion. Might be a nice thing to do. Maybe you just want to stop and say a word of thanks, say a prayer. That's a good idea, too. There is a Leon County Schools Wall of Remembrance, and that's at 725 South Calhoun Street, just in front of the Bluxom Building. This list goes on. Tallahassee National Cemetery, newly opened. Remember that this opened just 2 years ago in the spring. This is a 250-acre cemetery which serves as the burial grounds for all members of the Armed Forces, veterans, and their families. The grounds includes a memorial walkway, a public information center, and a gravesite locator, an electronic gravesite locator. Thank you, my friends over there at Visit Tallahassee, for getting us that information. And I hope that you find it useful there, my friend, in planning your Memorial Day weekend activities. Here's another reminder having to do with preparedness for coming storms and such. The folks of their Capital Area Emergency Management partners with the county want you to be aware of the fact that, once again, hurricane season is coming upon us, and they have scheduled June 1st, which is a Thursday, for a particular presentation, and it's basically the kickoff to hurricane season and a presentation of the annual disaster survival guide. So be aware of that. That's this coming Thursday, 10 a.m., the 1st of June, and that's at the Public Safety Complex on Easterwood Drive. Okay. And let's see. Here's a little notice from our friends over there at Venvi Art Gallery. Really like those folks. Always happy to give a shout out for them. Paintings and Sculpture by Gideon, described as an artist who borders on being an elemental force, to be exhibited over there at Venvi Art Gallery. So, and they have an upcoming, couple of upcoming shows. You want to check them out. Venvi Art Gallery is located, let me look here real quick. They're located at 2901 East Park Avenue. 2901 East Park Avenue. Basically, that's approaching the intersection of Park Avenue and Capitol Circle Southeast, for those of you who are oriented that way. Folks, that's what I've got for you here at the moment. You stay with me. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557. Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widden Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widden Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widden's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widden is known for taking care of business. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Dr. Fang Sarah Coe. You've heard her before. This is her return visit. But we want to give her opportunity to bring us up to date on some things. Dr. Coe, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
And for those who don't know, I want to say this in regard to Dr. Coe's contribution here. She is a Tallahassee native, if you didn't know that. Grew up here in Tallahassee, graduated from Lincoln High School. Her parents, computer wizards that worked for the state of Florida for many years, now retired. And it's clear to me that you care very deeply about your patients. I think that came clearly to me when we first met, that there is absolutely, and I hope we can say this about all of those in medical practice, but certainly there are those that I have met, and I think you're among them, who display a kind of personal commitment to an individual's health. And it translates into the kind of proficiency and the discipline that you apply to yourself. It's one thing to be a caring person. God help us, we should all be caring people. But when you bring to that individual that you're serving the kind of expertise, we'll say, and the kind of insight that is the result of years of discipline, and study, and continued study, that makes you a little bit special in my mind. And so thank you for all that you have done to make yourself better prepared to care for us. We're going to talk a little bit today about dry eyes, which is a common affliction. Get us started. What's the business of dealing with dry eyes?
Right. Dry eyes is so common now. You know, we're all on our computers, we're on our cell phones, staring at screens all day. And the trouble is when we're focused and concentrating, we don't blink as much. You watch someone regularly, they blink 20 times a minute. On the computer, they might blink twice. And then after an hour or two, your eyes start burning, right? And it's just so common. It affects people of all ages, but it's worse as we get older because we don't produce as much of our natural tears.
And so if there is something that simple to observe, are you blinking enough? Then, I mean, what do we do? If we're staring at a computer, do we like set a timer and remind ourselves? Or
you can, but it'd have to go off every couple seconds. It'd drive you crazy.
Okay. Or maybe just have people come in and say very sad things to me. So then I start tearing up now. So I'm being silly here. But So in terms of our daily practice, there are some, I guess, sort of common sense remedies there.
Yes.
In terms of our behavior. When you find it more so that there's an affliction here, there are some treatments available too, I suppose. Huh?
Yes, absolutely. I have a list about 20 things that people can do to help with their dry eyes.
Mm.
And 20 because it tells you how hard it is to treat it.
Wow.
That it's quite chronic. You can tell yourself to blink more, but it's hard to hard to train that in.
Yeah.
And the most simple thing is to go to Walgreens or CVS and get a bottle of artificial tears. And when your eyes feel tired, you put in a drop, close your eyes for a minute, let them rest, and then carry on with your day.
Yeah. And that revitalization is enough. And does that help stimulate more tears, or is that just merely a supplement?
That's an excellent question. It's a supplement, and it'll wear off in a matter of time. It doesn't last forever, so you can do it again, you know, a couple times a day. Or if you want to stimulate your eyes to produce their natural tears, what I tell my patients is to use heat.
Mm.
So like a washcloth soaked in hot water, or you can make your own homemade bean bag with a clean sock and some dry rice. You microwave that for 30 seconds. I'm giving you some good secrets here.
This is good stuff. Wow.
So the heat can stimulate your eyes to produce more natural tears.
Wonderful. Huh. And you said that it is a function of the aging process.
Yeah.
As we get older, we tend to not produce as much fluid.
Yeah.
And
the reason for that is because, well, one, we don't produce enough fluid, as you say, enough tears.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is we always think of tears as water, but it's more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
There's water, there's protein, there's oils. And I'm going to talk to you about the oils in our tears.
Okay.
Is if you imagine a bowl of soup that's very watery, it's going to evaporate right away.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas that oily bowl of soup will stick around a lot longer
right.
and be higher quality.
Right.
And with time, our oil glands get clogged up from dust in the air, from our sweat. Women, when we wear makeup. A lot of us
not
don't
good.
Take it off every night.
Not good.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And.
Okay.
And so as those oil glands get clogged up, the tears that we produce are lower quality.
Mm.
And that's why they don't last as long and our eyes feel more bothered.
Look at that. Oil glands as opposed to tear ducts, right? Not the
right.
same thing.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the oil glands are not even visible to us. They're not
yeah.
on the, yeah. So the tear ducts we can notice, but they are reliant on what we're producing in general to create these natural tears,
right.
huh?
Yeah. Right. Our oil glands are right at the base of our eyelashes.
Ah.
Right on the edge of our eyelids.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go, folks. We've learned a little bit more courtesy of the very lovely Dr. Coe.
And I will say,
yes,
there's actually something new, because you mentioned you wanted me to talk about any new developments.
Please.
There's something called a LipiFlow, and it's a machine that will actually clean out your oil glands if that's the problem.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. So.
Well, maybe every 30,000 miles or something, I should come in for a cleaning.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't wear eye makeup, but it. You know, I mean, I still
maybe
work in
at
dusty
night.
Conditions. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Just
depending
kidding.
On where I might be hanging for the evening. Right, I get that. Well, thank you so much. We're
yeah.
going to have you come back and talk to us further about other developments in this fascinating area of medicine and your contributions here locally. Folks, this is another opportunity for us to learn, courtesy of the folks at Eye Associates and our good friend, Dr. Fang Sarah Coe, who will return on another occasion if we can persuade her to come back and, who knows, maybe wear her red boots again. Because that's a very cool thing. Stay with me, folks. We've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
May 5th, 1868, General John Logan calls for a National Day of Remembrance in honor of those slain on the field of battle during the Civil War. May 30th was chosen as the day when Americans across the nation would gather to offer prayers and decorate the graves of these fallen defenders of freedom. In 1968, Congress declared the last Monday in May to be our official Memorial Day, giving thanks for our first responders, law enforcement, and all those in military service who have given the ultimate sacrifice for a grateful nation. From Volcar Automotive Service and Sales on Capital Circle Northeast in Tallahassee, Volcar for all cars, call 942-4980. Widen Glass on South Monroe, Tallahassee's first family in glass, call 222-5781. And Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive, Tallahassee's market leader for automotive accessories. Call 656-8800.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In keeping with our observance of this Memorial Day weekend, I want to take opportunity to bring back to you a conversation Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda had with Commander Dennis Baker recently, as they discussed the illustrious life, the career of Lawrence Fontaine Snowden. General Snowden was a retired lieutenant general, United States Marine Corps. In 1995, he founded the annual Reunion of Honor, a program that honored those who lost their lives on both sides of the Battle of Iwo Jima. This was a man of great vision, great courage, and great compassion, who passed away this year back in February. So here we have Michelle talking with Dennis Baker about General Lawrence Snowden.
And as I walked in, he handed me my manuscript and he handed me his write-up of the endorsement. And he said, you can accept this or reject this. He said, I enjoyed the book. And as different from General Snowden, my book was a book that was written totally fiction. Mm-hmm. It was a fantasy. It was about soldiers. It gave the beginning of each one of their lives, five different soldiers, and the night before they went off to war and their family situations before they left. And they had all gone off to war and gotten killed, and they did something and were rewarded and got to go back home to finish their lives. So the book was more or less about, you know, how would they go back and finish their life? What would they should they have done differently to begin with? And it's all about second chances. It's all about living life right the first time. And so as he read the book, he wrote, who amongst us wouldn't want a second chance at life? Mm-hmm. And so what I expected from him was, here's a real-life warrior that actually was twice wounded on Iwo Jima, and he's all about the real world and real battles and having soldiers in front of him getting killed that were under his command. And he's reading this fantasy, and I think he had hope in his heart as he read the book that some of his men could come back and be back there. And it kind of played out towards the end that, you know, 72 years after the day that he was landed on Iwo Jima, that he actually is when he passed away. And I'd like to think that he went back to be with those men on Iwo Jima, and just like in the book.
And, you know, I will tell you, I knew him for, I guess, maybe about 8 years, maybe a decade, I don't know. But every time I met him, it seemed like the thread of what happened at Iwo Jima had continued, and he carried that in his eyes, in his manner. It almost like it had never left him. I could feel it. And when I would shake his hand, I could feel almost like reaching back in history. There was something spiritual about that man, and very much just connected to the soldiers that and sailors that he held and led at Iwo Jima. And I almost wonder, and you would know more than I, but I almost wonder if that was a continuing thread throughout his life, and that he, you know, maybe he made some vow, you know, at that point in time. I don't know, but in any event, he was a good man. I mean, a great exemplar of what it takes to be resilient, what it takes to continue to serve until, what age did he die?
He died in 95.
At 95, right?
He was almost 96. He was about 2 months out, not even 2 months out. But he did carry that spirit with him. And I'd like to think that, and even spoke about it at his memorial, that he lived his life for those who didn't get to live their life. And he made a vow to himself that he would do as much as he possibly could to honor their names and to bring people back to Iwo Jima every year and to make it a reunion and not make it something that was hateful, not make it something that was negative. But he took all of this, and a lot of people who, you know, talked about, you know, the Japanese and how bad and everything it was, mm-hmm. he took this big negative and made it into a big positive. And his actual work that he did over all those years actually brought the two countries together. And the interesting piece of that is that Prime Minister Abe, when he recognized General Snowden in front of Congress a couple of years ago, and General Snowden was standing next to the defending general of Iwo Jima, next to his grandson, and they turned and shook hands. Prime Minister Abe gave General Snowden the recognition for those decades of work that he did in Iwo Jima, and it seemed, you know, that the Japanese were kind of ahead of us, because it wasn't too long thereafter that then the Department of Defense and the Department of the Navy decided that they were going to give him these medals of public service. And it was kind of like the Japanese beat us to the punch to recognize the great work that he did and to understand the importance of it. And yeah, he felt that. He carried it inside him all the time, and that's what made him such a great man.
Oh, he was wonderful. And you made some wonderful comments at his memorial here in Tallahassee. And I didn't get a chance to go to D.C. or Washington, D.C., but there was a memorial there for him as well. And you have a letter here from General Mattis. He was there at the memorial in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, ma'am. There were in Quantico, where General Snowden wanted to be interned, General Mattis showed up, and there were just a line of generals up there. But there were also a lot of folks from Iwo Jima, and the folks from Iwo Jima who know the work that he had done and really where his heart was at. And it wasn't so much that he was all about Iwo Jima, because he lived it in every day that he was at. It wasn't just that one piece of it, but that was the one piece that kind of stuck out because it affected international. And those folks that were up there, and you can see the memorial service on you can go to YouTube.
Okay.
And you can pull
all
it
right.
up, and you can see the service. And General Mattis was there, and General Mattis thought the world of General Snowden. And when General Snowden was signing his books, and you know, I would go to his place, and we'd get them all addressed up and sent out and everything, so I know all the folks that were important to him that were getting books, and he reached out to all of those folks who he had so much admired, and who he had an influence on. He said that they were pretty influential, but he was the one that actually inspired them. And when you read the letters from Joe Dunford and then General Mattis, you can see how much they revered General Snowden and the great work that he had done.
There was just something about that man. And so not only what he did on Iwo Jima early on in his early career, but then bringing it, you know, and remembering that and doing great work to bring the two countries together and to recognize that soldiers and sailors and nations can come together in peace after war and should. And who else did that? I think Robert Strange McNamara did a little bit of that work in Vietnam. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do. There was some of that. And, you know, General Snowden, it was just the timing to meet him. And, you know, I think we all come into each other's lives for one reason or another, and timing is just, you know, so perfect for events to occur. And you can take it all on a positive line on you know, some people say, you know, they tend not to look at the great positiveness of life. But to have met General Snowden and to ask him at that time to help me, and which he did, and which was very emotional for me, for this man to endorse the book. But then what happened out of that is when he saw that happen, it inspired him to take the book that he had already had a pile of paperwork And we went to lunch one day at Montana Ted's, and we're sitting there, and he said, "Dennis, I want to write my book." And I said, "Okay." And we just cleared the table off, and where they have the brown paper on the tables at Montana Ted's, I took a pen and we just started writing. On you can do it with a with an you can get a publicist to do it. You can do it self published. You can get a novelty publisher. You know, there's many different ways that you can do it. So you know, the rest is history. So we met the publisher, a friend of mine who had gotten many awards, M.R. Street, and she met with General Snowden. And he started getting his piles of pictures and writings together.
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful story, and we're going to continue that in our next segment, because I want to talk about the writing of the book. I want to talk a little bit more about your book, because it's an intriguing title and an intriguing premise, and I think we've all thought about that. And so I want to talk about both these books and more about General Snowden's life, his great life. So thank you for being with us, Commander Baker.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983. For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services when you're ready to share your vision. Excite your audience and reach the hearts of your customers. Reach for Rapid Press. Online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
This is Michelle Ramkel-Vasalinda again, and I am back on the line here with Dennis Baker, Commander Dennis Baker, retired U.S. Navy. So tell us a little bit more about how the book got written.
General Snowden, when he first started writing the book, he'd written it over the years. He had some of it was electronic, some of it was just, you know, scratched on paper, and then he had a stack of papers, a stack of photos. And when M.R. Street and General Snowden sat down and started writing the book, he had a heart valve replacement at the age of 94.
Wow.
And most folk would say, "Hey, I'm not going to do that." But the way that General Snowden looked at it, he says, I'm not going to live this way. He says, "I want to live a quality life, and if I can't, then I don't need to be here." And so he had the heart valve replacement, which turned out very well. And then he started writing the book with M.R. Street, and about not even a month into it, he had fallen and broken his femur, and he was
That's
down for
a tough thing
for
to
quite
break. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and especially at the age of 94, and so he you know, he was out for a little bit, and he'd be in and out of the health center. He had pneumonia once in a while. But he never let it get him down. He was always positive. And even on his worst day, if somebody had come around, you know, he would always make it about them. He would not make it about him. He was never the victim.
And that was part of his resiliency, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
It was looking towards other people and looking out to how he could help other people and inspire other people and not being down. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the initial premise of him writing his book was supposed to be for his children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. And as he got writing it, and it started to grow, and then finally the cover appeared, you know, with this general on the front cover. And the original cover that he had chosen for the book was, it actually ended up on the back of the book, and it was him bowing at the shrine in Iwo Jima. Mm-hmm. And it was a white background. It was just it didn't even look like a book, you know, and it was like, "Nah, this needs to be General Snowden, and he needs to be on the cover." So we convinced him to put his face on the front in his full uniform of the guy that, you know, we wanted to see. And he did that. And so the title, Snowden's Story, One Marine's Indebtedness to the Corps, was how he felt indebted to the Marine Corps for all the things that they had taught him from the time that he left Charlottesville, Virginia. and joined the Marine Corps. And it was very interesting that he just started working through this book. And then as he finished it, then we started the book signings. And the first book signing was at Westminster Oaks, and it was standing room only. And there were folks there just lined up, and he sat there for 4 hours. And this is a guy that's, you know, he's in a lot of pain, but he's not telling anybody.
Right.
But he sat there, and he made it about everybody else. And he signed until the last person left, or until we ran out of books, actually. And then the next signing was at Hearth and Soul, and he had him out the door. And the interesting thing about that was... Don Yeager showed up, and Don Yeager, for those of
he's an author, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
And Don Yeager walks in, and as he walks in, I take him up front to meet General Snowden, and I said, "General Snowden, we need to be like this guy here. He's on the New York Times bestseller list." And General Snowden looks up at him, and I show General Snowden a copy of Don Yeager's book. And Don Yeager said, "Hey, General, I'd like a copy of your book." And General looks at him and says, "No, I want a copy of your book." So Don Yeager grabs a book of his off the shelf there, Hearth and Soul, and he writes, and I saw it later what he had written. He wrote, "It's an honor to be in your presence." And he gave it to General Snowden. And so General Snowden sat there and wrote to him. And then Preston Scott had brought his son, who had done an interview with General Snowden years ago when he was in school, and he got an A on his paper. So when Preston had brought his son in and stood in front of the general said, "How would you like me to make your book out?" And he just said, "Just to my name."
Yeah.
He says, No. "Tell me a little bit about yourself." And he ended up writing 4 or 5 lines.
Wow.
So at the end of that book signing, which was 4 hours later, I said, "Okay, General, they've got the Army-Navy game going on down at Momo's. You want to head down there?" And he said, "Sure." So here's a guy at 95 years old, and he's, you know, he's in the time of his life. He's getting to tell his story. He's getting to know, just being a superstar that he really already was, but he got to see all these people just clamor around him and just want to be near him. And we walked into Momo's, and the Army Navy with all their future cadets were in there, and they all just came and walked around him like he was, you know, like it was Elvis Presley going in there. But it was amazing to be with him. And I, you know, he always said, "Hey, you know, I owe you for a Mountain Dew that you buy me," or whatever. And I said, "Nah," I said, "you know, no, people would pay to do what I'm doing," and I felt honored to do it.
Oh, and indeed. I mean, you were very fortunate and blessed, and he was blessed to have you as well. Let's talk a little bit about your book, because we love General Snowden, and wherever you are, General, we are honoring you as best we can today. So we hope everybody goes out and buys your book on Amazon, because I think whether it's a story about a Marine, I think it's inspiring to all of us. I'm going to get a lot out of the book. I've already started reading the first 3 chapters. I'm done, and I'm getting a lot out of the book, and I have not been a Marine. Tell us a little bit about your book again.
My book was written, I guess, to pay tribute to those folks that have gone and given their lives for our country. And currently, I'm the president of Florida Veterans Foundation, and I do those kinds of things for veterans because I feel like, even though I served 28 years in the military, that I still owe those folks who actually paid the price.
We all do.
And,
all do.
You know, I did a job for 28 years, but I certainly wasn't getting shot at. And as I grew up in the 60s, and saw a lot of folks that I'd grown up with that came back, in a box, and or come back missing parts of their bodies, and I kind of felt I needed to write about them. So in my book, I used real people's names that I had grown up with, and I asked the families, and they said, "Yes, you can use their names." And so in writing the book, I used their names. And it actually did, and when I talk about what if fallen heroes could come home, I actually did bring them back, because with all the articles and everything that was done about my book after it had been written, the new generation got to see pictures of these guys that were in my book. And even though they were fictitious characters in my book, they're names I used, and people got to know.
What an interesting thing. Yeah, that's great. What would we learn from them?
Did he have any regrets? And that's where the restless hearts come from, because they have restless hearts. They didn't get to finish their
life.
What's
the title of your book again?
Restless Hearts, What If Fallen Heroes Could Go Home.
And that's by Dennis Baker, Commander Dennis Baker, retired. And we thank you so much for being on the show. And I urge everybody to go out and get that book, and also the book about General Snowden. General Snowden, and the subtitle of that is One Marine's Indebtedness to the Corps. And so thank you again. We appreciate it.
Thank you, ma'am. It's a pleasure.
Folks, that's what we have for you this week. Glad that you were with us. Happy Memorial Day. Hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. And honor those who have given on behalf of our nation. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk with me.
Truckin' Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricky out to truck. Truckin' Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truckin' Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truckin' Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.